lot. Kind of a view of the backyard. For the assessor's information, the single-family residence was constructed in 2007. The subject property is on Lot 29, Phase 1, Fieldstone Bluffs. It's approximately 0.25 acres in size. And you approved this for concept April 17th. Then we have our nightly rental definition for the guidance code. Then we have our maximum occupancy definition from the guidance code. This project received a score of a negative one on the policy checklist. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves Division 3 Permit 1717, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. A valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license number shall be provided to the Planning Department prior to the issuance of a certificate of compliance. Four, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Five, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Six, the residence located at 226 Stony Point Drive shall accommodate sleep no more than the maximum occupancy, which is two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. The 226 Stony Point Drive vacation rental has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the representative to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. 8. The current contact information for the property shall be posted on the property and on file in the Taney County Planning Office. 9. This decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire.
Okay. Yes, my name is Marie Powers, and I manage Agape Upscale Vacation Rentals, and I manage the home for Mr. Billingsley. You know, I'll talk of rebuttals later, but I've been in long-term rentals for many, many years, and then I've been in vacation rentals for 7 years now. And the two comments that I keep hearing tonight are, you know, I just wanted to address those. One, they talk about the extra traffic. It's not an attraction. You're not going to have 1,000 people coming in and out. So, I mean, this is in response to even all the other people that are applying for a certificate. It's only as if a family was living there full time. You know, you're only going to have that amount of cars coming out. I've done long-term rentals. There's constant damage in long-term rentals. When you start having long-term rentals in your neighborhood, it's going to go downhill and your property values are going to go down. I know this. I live in an area north of Branson where it was a nice established neighborhood, but the people have gotten older and died. And as they died, they become long-term rentals. So we may have the sex offender living next door and definitely probably the druggie living next door. But vacation rentals raise the property values. These people are only in for 3 to 7 days. They're paying a lot of money. And I know one time somebody had said, but they're splitting the money. I usually have two types of groups that come to this house. One is grandma and grandpa who pay for the entire vacation. Their children meet them with the grandchildren. Or, and that can be 6 to 8 to 10 people at the most, which is the home handles 10 people. Or you have four people come in. And the four people coming in are either four golfers or four ladies going shopping and having a, you know, ladies' weekend. So, the you know, normally one person's paying for it. When the four people come, they are splitting it. But again, those are adults. They're four ladies that are going shopping, four guys. They're going to be doing golfing there in Buffalo Ridge. As the other lady said, I get good renters in there. I talk to each one of my renters. Every one of them have my number. I've tried. Now, this home is different because it's a freestanding home, but I do condos. I usually talk to the people, you know, on the side, say, here's my card. Any problem, give me a call, and I'll be there immediately. Everybody signs a contract. This house in particular has, it's the safest house I've ever seen. He has 8 smoke detectors. There are 5 doors to the outside. And as you see, it's the end. On the end, so he doesn't have. He just has the one direct neighbor, you know, and everybody's either across the street or up behind. He has a bluff behind the house. So I guess that's what I'll say now. We'll listen to, and then I'll talk again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Murphy?
Well, I do want to speak directly against that because Mr. Billingsley turned in some paperwork to you that had derogatory information about Susan and I. I would like to refute that. We have never, ever had any conflict with any renter that was at the pool. And he said we did, and that we threw their towels down. We did not. And, you know, they say what he, and he put it in here, but I want to refute those statements. Billingsley is the one that said that he bought the house and was told that he could rent it. Yes, here's the rental agreement. I read it before. It says you cannot rent it on your own. You can only rent it through the golf package. And the questions and answers frequently asked, can I rent my unit myself? That is, book it as my time and rent it directly to somebody else? No. That's the direct answer. No, you cannot. So he purchased, and they told him he could rent, but that was through that golf package. I want to totally point that out again and again. He's the one that did not answer at first when the county sent him a letter saying you need to come into compliance. He decided he wasn't going to do that until he got a second letter from Scott. So he's, you know, not the most compliant person in the world. So again, the bluffs on here, if you will look at your map, does not allow nightly rentals, and they did not apply for them, and there's not a Division 3 permit that allows that. And they keep saying that they bought it and were told that they could rent, and the developer rented it. Yes, they did, for a golf package. So they continue to rent. Of all the approvals, we only have, and I think I'm current on the compliance forms.
Yep, I don't have any other information yet.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that have their, 6?
Yeah, I was thinking it's 6.
We have 6 that have their CFC.
Right.
And the rest are still renting. They continue to rent. I know they weren't told at their hearing that they had to stop. I wish that they would have been told. I think now, since they haven't gotten their CFC, that perhaps a letter should go out to them. We had an opinion today by an attorney on the buffers, and he read Appendix H, and he disagrees with you, Scott, because I know we had your right. Opinion of buffers is different. However, on the guidance code, when you make an application, you're supposed to have a sketch of the house. You're supposed to have a sketch of the parking. It is all supposed to be attached to the application. It is in your guidance code, and it says that. So I would think that you would want an opinion that says, from an attorney, your county attorney, Cotty, that says that those things should be attached so that you know what you're dealing with when you go in. Billingsley says it's a four-bedroom house, right? No house plan. Nothing was attached. You don't know that it is a four-bedroom house.
Well, I do before I do the CFC because I've gone into each one.
But
before the CFC.
That's supposed to be attached before so that the commission knows what they're voting on rather than after the fact.
The commission's voting on the maximum occupancy.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I disagree that maybe your opinion should be clarified by Mr. Cotty, because, you know, I'm not an attorney, you're not an attorney, and Mr. Cotty is, and so we need to get a clarification on the guidance code and why we're not following it. And, you know, the barrier said commercial property to residential, and the condo, it's not a condo, the villa on one side is commercial. The other side is residential. We have a common wall. It talks about a wall, okay? However, it talks about a wall down where the landscape's supposed to be. And that would be a wall between the properties. So, you know, we don't have a soundproof wall. So, you know, that's an issue that I would like to have addressed. However, I'm leaving on vacation from May 10th to June 19th, so you won't see me next week. I just think that that should be clarified, and I think that the commission should know what they're looking at and what they're voting on before the final walkthrough. You know, it also says that the fire sprinklers, they should have, it is supposed to be attached to the application, that they have complied with the fire department, that they are in compliance, and therefore you know beforehand they are in compliance. You don't have to ask the person, are you in compliance? Or how much is it going to cost you to get into compliance? So that's issues that I have. And just this weekend and two weekends before, we had people walking our streets that were stoned or they were totally so drunk they could hardly stand up, giving residents the finger, saying terrible things. And, you know, you think that people would, they say that they're classy people that are coming in. I would say probably 95% of them are. But then that 5% come in and we have to deal with them. And it was not good. So, and that's happening all the time. And I wish you would, in residential communities, not to allow it to be taken down like Branson Creek. Once these four, if they go through, we're at 26. And then there's two more coming up on a concept hearing. So we are being destroyed. All because on the first 16, the barrier was not enforced. Any questions?
Thank you.
Welcome.
Neil Murphy. My wife covered it pretty well, I think. However, I get the feeling that when we present our cases, that is, your concern seems to be, is there enough parking? You know, that's a big deal, and it is a big deal. However, I think your concern should be, what's happening to our neighborhood? That's the concern. It's certainly the concern of the full-time residents that live there. And I ask you in your decisions, future decisions, that you take into consideration the integrity of the community that all these people live in. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next is Paul Frampton.
My name is Paul Frampton. I live just a couple of houses down from 226. Also across the street from me is 209 and 189, and I draw exception to her saying that there's not going to be any traffic. Three or four weeks ago, there were six carloads in 209. I couldn't begin to count the number of people that was there. Then the following week, there was a couple guys there that was working the golf tournament. And then this last weekend, there were five carloads. The one 3 weeks ago, there were kids out behind the house throwing rocks down on the street. And that's just what it's become. So I'm totally against it. So any questions?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
They also held a barbecue out in the parking lot.
Is this Donna Evitz or Evitz? No. Yes.